Welcome to Engineering Conversation. My name is David DeMontigny, and I'm an engineering professor at the University of Regina. Today, my guest is Dave Duguid, a laboratory instructor in electronic systems engineering. Dave has a background in analog and digital electronics, embedded systems, and data communication. He has been teaching labs for over 37 years. In other words, he has taught the majority of the electronic systems engineering and software systems engineering grads since the mid-1980s, which is a phenomenal achievement. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. Good to be here.
I'm pretty excited about this conversation, actually, because I know you have a ton of experience, and you can tell us about your program. So let's maybe start there, and I'll ask you to just explain for everyone what exactly is electronic systems engineering.
Well, it's a pretty wide-ranging program. Electronic systems has four major stream areas that students will ultimately get into, but they come in at the second year level, and they take some basic circuits classes. They figure out how some electronic devices work. We show them the basics of how to put things together and how to design circuits, how to test circuits using industry standard test equipment. But ultimately what's going to happen is they're going to decide to look into a number of focus areas. And the four focus areas that we have are microelectronics and embedded systems. And there we deal with the kind of things that you see on a set-top box, the kind of things that you see in your smartphone, the sort of electronics that you might encounter in a car. That's an embedded system. So we deal with that. We deal with another area called automation and control. So in control systems, that's where you're starting to study things like how do the fly-by-wire systems that aircraft use, how do they work? Or, on a different scale, how does the process that occurs out at the co-op upgrader, how is that all controlled? How are the temperatures monitored and set and the different flows controlled? So that's automation and control. We have an area that we call power, and it's actually called power protection and control. And there what you're doing is you're studying the equipment that goes into the power grid and would be used here in the province to actually prevent things like blackouts, to do things like monitor the quality of the power and decide what generating stations might be coming online and going offline, things like that. And then the last area that we have is our communications and networking area. And there you're looking into things like the telecommunications system, the 5G networks, Ethernet, how to transmit data in the modern world, basically. So that's kind of what we do. It's a pretty wide range of things.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's a ton of things for the students to learn. And really, nowadays, electronics is everywhere.
So, oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can't really buy a device anymore or even like an appliance for your house that doesn't have some type of electronic systems.
Well, and it's what everybody wants to do. I know we actually just received from our kids, we got a picture frame. And it's, it used to be the digital picture frame where you put this stuff on a USB stick and plugged it in. Well, now it connects to the app. And now if somebody wants to show you pictures of what they did on their holidays, they just email you the pictures and they pop up on the screen. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And that technology is developed by the engineers that you train.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. So one of the reasons that engineering programs are so heavy and a lot of work is because of that lab component. We pretty much have a lab attached to almost every class that an undergraduate student takes. So tell us about the importance of that lab experience in the training of these engineering students.
So from the electronics perspective, we have a real emphasis in our program on the concepts of system design and integration, how to take existing technologies and put them together to solve problems, or, when you might need to look into the development of a new technology. And so those courses, or a lot of those courses, they'll also have a project associated with them. And in order to prepare people for those projects, we have a very extensive lab program that goes on right from the very first electronics class that you take. And in the lab, what you're really doing is you're learning what are the parts? How do they fit together? How do you put the systems physically together? How do you make measurements to know that you've done it correctly or that they're working right, or actually to gauge the performance of the whole thing? The other big thing that comes out of doing lab work is it's time management, because really a lab only is a very short period of time in your day, and there's a lot of work to be done. So what they see in the lab, these skills that they learn, that all transfers forward into when they're working on projects and when they get out in the real world. It's a very transferable skill. And actually the one thing that we hear all the time from students in electronics is that the lab is sort of their eureka moment. They've been to the lectures, they've done some assignments, they kind of know what should happen or they've been told what should happen, but they actually get to physically see it, do it, experience what the outcome is in the lab. And that really, to most people, is the time where they go, I really learned something.
Right. I can really appreciate that because it's that hands-on experience the light bulb finally goes on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that the labs are important because, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe in the curriculum, some of the classes, in fact, have an expectation that you have to pass the lab work in order to pass the class.
It's actually something that we do in that our classes are very much focused on being practical. So you might study hard, you might pass your exams, but if you don't pick up the physical part of it, if you're not able to actually go through the lab course and complete a project on time that actually works or to get your labs done on time and actually be able to do the tasks, you'll actually fail the class based on the fact that you didn't get the practical side of it. So it's very important for us to make sure that our grads have a practical skill set that they can employ.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me to put an emphasis on that. So it's almost refreshing to hear that. Now, I mentioned earlier that you've been teaching for over 37 years. So that's a long time. And I'm wondering, what types of careers have you seen the alumni from this program get when they go out into the working world? Because I know the lab instructors have great relationships with the alumni. Where are some of our students working when they graduate?
Again, if you could pick a profession, an area where people would be working, and I could probably name a grad or at least, have a recollection of somebody who's gone off and they're working in an area similar to that. There's a real standout. One of our grads took a co-op work term in Hawaii to actually work on the Canada-France-Hawaii telescope, which is a radio observatory. And she did that back around the very early 2000s. And it was a bit of a heart-wrenching moment for her to decide that she was going to move from the middle of the prairies to Hawaii and, on the rim of this volcano. And she went, and she really enjoyed it, and she made a very good impression. And that really set her on a career path of working with radio astronomy all around the world. She ultimately ended up back at the Canada-France-Hawaii telescope. She was hired away from there by another observatory company. She spent time in Chile with them, working on upgrading the electronics systems within their telescopes. And now she actually runs her own independent consulting company from here in Regina, consulting with radio observatories around the world. So that's one. And that's, not something when you're first coming into university, you think, oh, I'm going to end up at a radio telescope on a rim of a volcano in Hawaii, because it's just not something that most of us think of. Lots of our other grads work in the resource industries all across the country. They work in research and development. Two more notable grads, they actually work with robotics for military applications, basically in situations where they're trying to take people out of the equation and keep people out of harm's way. And then, other people will work in utilities. And, one of my grads that I see every day is actually one of my superiors, one of my bosses, if you will. He's stayed in academia and really enjoys it. So the types of jobs, the places you can go are pretty wide ranging because, as you've said, David, electronics is everywhere. And if you have an interest in working in it, you can find a place pretty much anywhere in the world in any field you want.
Yeah, I like that Maui story or Hawaii story. It's the Big Island.
It's the Big Island.
Yeah, and that just shows to me that your engineering degree is a ticket to anywhere you want to go in the world. And that student is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
I've mentioned before that students do a graduation project or a capstone project at the end of their 4 years of study, sort of as a showcase of everything that they've learned. Over the years, are there any capstone projects that stand out to you as something that was pretty cool, and the students did a bang up job.
You know, I always feel kind of bad because I know that there's so many of them, and I can't pick them all and talk about them all. But there are a couple of projects that do stand out in my mind, and the reason that they do isn't necessarily because of the technical merit, because of the electronic skills that were involved. It was more the impact of the project on sort of the world in general, or people living in the world. And the first one, sort of the one that goes furthest back, was something called the mobile mine marker. And the intent there, it was a small mobile robot, and its job was to employ some sensors, drive through an area in a war zone, basically an area that had been through conflict, and by using various sensors, detect the presence of landmines and then mark them. And, you know, in the case of the project that was built here, they had a limited set of sensors that they could use, and their method of marking it was just to spray paint on the area where they detected it. But this was something that, could be employed in an area that had gone through armed conflict. And again, potentially save lives, potentially keep people from being injured by, these leftover landmines. And that struck me as a good application of what engineering is all about, is trying to make the world a better place for people to live in. And the other one was actually much closer to home. And it's interesting because, to tell you the honest truth, I can't remember if it was actually an electronics project, but the person who did it ultimately became an electronics student. So the student who did this, he has a degree in both industrial systems engineering and electronic systems engineering. And at one point, his capstone project was to work on something called the Hug Chair. And the Hug Chair was a project that was built to help calm younger autistic children who had gone through a triggering event and needed a calming action. And it was basically a system built around a chair with an air bladder that would apply pressure to the chest of the person, just give them a hug, basically. And it had to be done at the sort of the right pressure, and it had to be done for the right period of time in order to give the calming effect as opposed to create another triggering event. And then the electronics part of it was actually quite straightforward. It was quite simple. It was very well done. And again, that's with electronics. One of our goals is don't overcomplicate things. Keep the system simple. Keep the system reliable. And this was a great application of it. And again, like I said, I can't even remember if he started as an industrial student and moved into electronics after his industrial degree, or if it was the other way around. But again, it was a project that had that impact on people, had that electronics component to it, and just kind of stands out as that was really cool.
That story takes me down memory lane, because I remember that project and I got a hug from that chair.
All right.
I did. And that's the beauty of engineering, though, is you pick a project and you put your skills to use to do something useful for society. Mm-hmm. And what better thing could an engineer do than come up with a chair to help special needs children?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No, that's an excellent example. Now, I'm going to assume that one of the best parts of your job is working with students. We will have some high school students who may be listening to this podcast. Is there any advice that you could offer to a grade 12, grade 11 student who's thinking about coming into engineering, particularly electronics systems?
Well, number one, think really hard about, are you interested in the concept of electronics, or are you interested in solving problems that might employ electronics that you don't know about? Okay. So first of all, kind of wrap your head around, is this something I might like to try? But once you get here, there's really three things that I can suggest. And a lot of this goes to any student, regardless of your program. One of the things, first of all, is participate. Okay. You're going to have the opportunity when you're going through university to work in groups with other students. And sometimes that's going to be assigned to you. Sometimes you're going to choose that opportunity yourself. But whatever you do, participate. If you're asked to form a group, show up. Take an active role in that group, okay? Join student groups. Join student groups that may just do engineering topics in general, or that might have a special interest to you. Here in the faculty, we have Robotics Club. We have a chapter of the Society of Automotive Engineers that does automotive projects that always employ electronics. We have a chapter of the IEEE, which is an electrical worldwide group and professional engineers. But there's a student chapter where you get involved and see what kind of research is happening in those areas. But participate, be part of it. And part of participation also goes to, if you find yourself struggling in a topic, ask somebody for help, reach out. And if you're the person who's not struggling, if you're the person who gets it, don't just keep that knowledge in your head. Reach out to someone that you see is struggling and help them. So be part of the group. So that's number one, participate in things. Number two, be responsible for your own work. Okay, so your choice in going into engineering is that you're going into a professional field. You've chosen to study hard, put in long hours. Make sure that you are mastering those concepts. So be responsible for them. Don't let other people do your own work. Don't lean on things as a crutch. Be responsible for what you're doing. And last thing to remember, and again, I think for pretty much any student, just sometimes it just all goes wrong. Okay, you've put time and energy into something and it's just not working out. And remember, you're not alone in that. Okay, there's people around here, there's people in the faculty, there's people across the university. They want you to succeed. But in order to do that, they need to know that, you know, you've run into some difficulty, that you're struggling with things. So whatever happens, just remember that it's a journey. And that sometimes you just need to take a break from that journey and reevaluate, make sure your direction is going the right way. But always remember to reach out. Everybody goes through things where it's not working out, but maybe it will tomorrow. So just make sure that you communicate with people that things aren't the way you want them to be.
I think that's great advice. And I really like the part about getting involved and helping your classmates if they're struggling. Yeah. This has been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I am so happy that you took some time to come and talk with me today.
It's a great place to come and learn. It's been a great job to work at, and the one thing that always makes that is the interest and involvement of the students that are coming in and being able to see where they've gone when they're done. So thanks for having me, David.
It's been a pleasure. My guest today was Dave Duguid, a laboratory instructor in our Electronic Systems Engineering program, and hopefully we have showcased for you a little bit what that program is all about. And you might want to consider that when you're looking for something to study in university. In the coming weeks, we will showcase our other programs and help students learn about the engineering offered here in Regina. I hope you join us next time on Engineering Conversations, when my guest will be Justin Gwilliam, a fourth-year industrial systems engineering student who will be graduating this spring.